Thanks, Matt, for allowing me to record these calls.
Of course.
Where would you like to start today?
Well, maybe just a couple of updates since we last talked. So I have sort of put into practice a couple of the actions that we had spoken about at the end of our last call, most specifically sort of putting some limits on my cell phone usage during down, you know, personal time, and having some boundaries, setting some boundaries for myself, and that's obviously been nice. And nothing's catastrophic has blown up, and you know, life has moved on, and you know, right. And so I found that to be, you know, only with a week of data, but I found that to be successful so far. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I did also engage my wife in just helping to sort of just be a check and balance on, you know, hey, stop thinking about work, put down the phone, you know, let's have some fun, you know, that's also, she, you know, as predicted, she embraced that. That was right within her wheelhouse of something that, and, you know, gives her a little bit of a, something that she can do on her end when, you know, she sees me with some of these anxiety issues. You know, it's not like she can, in the past, you know, she felt like, oh, geez, I can't do anything to help you. But, you know, this gives her a role in that process, which I think is comforting to her as well, which is good. That wasn't something that I had explicitly thought of coming into it, but it's something I've noticed over the last week that, you know, she has taken this sort of role or assignment or task or whatever and has definitely embraced it. So so that was just sort of an interesting, you know, outcome that I wasn't anticipating that's been beneficial.
Mm. Great. So she's taken it very seriously to help you have fun.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we joke about it, you know, so it's good. It's good in that standpoint because it can bring some humor and laughter. And that's always, I think, a healing thing. And then, just at work, just professionally, over the last week or so, I've really been stepping into a couple different mindsets. One is I'm really trying to embrace this big picture thinking and giving myself the license to provoke serious change. So, for example, you know, we had our annual talent review last week of all the director team here in our corporate headquarters. And one of the process elements to that talent review is we have what we call a stay interview with each one of these directors just to say, hey, what's keeping you here? You know, and we also have some questions around what's keeping you up at night and, you know, what can the company do to change, to improve your experience, that kind of thing. And one of the very consistent themes we heard was bureaucracy and slowness to change and some worry about the external business environment and competitors and new competitors and disruption and things like that. So, you know, I'm kind of making it my personal mission to figure out ways to combat that. And so I kind of paired up with one of my peers who's a VP over strategic planning, and we're putting together sort of a cultural change program geared around speed to market, and pushing decision rights down in the organization, focusing on some of our critical game-changing initiatives and funneling resources to those things, which might be controversial because we might steal resources from other functions to do that. So I don't know. I get a lot of energy from that track of work, even though it's not necessarily right in the wheelhouse of my job description. I mean, loosely it is. You know, my title is HR strategy, but you know, I really get energized around that kind of work, and I'm giving myself the permission to engage in that kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been very positive. And then the other sort of mental kind of, I don't know, mindset shift or that I've been practicing is, this is going to sound callous. I don't mean it to sound callous, but honestly, with my boss and with others, my peers, you know, there's certain things that I'm just letting go of. I mean, you know, if conflict type situations where previously I might internalize it and self-criticize and say, oh my God, how could I have avoided this? I'm really just saying, you know what, I've got bigger fish to fry. Somebody's upset or something, little thing that's important to somebody doesn't get done, but it's not important in the grand scheme of things. I'm just not going to lose sleep over it. And that's been liberating. I think it takes practice to change some of those mental habits because, occasionally I have this reflex of, going in and stewing over it and feeling the anxiety bubble up because I'm stewing, but more and more I'm practicing pulling myself out of that and saying, you know what, screw it, right? This isn't that big of a deal.
Well, the first thing I can think of is that must, well, how does it affect your anxiety level?
Yeah, I think it's a good countermeasure, right, to that anxiety level. Anytime I can pull myself out of that stewing, self-criticizing mental state and kind of our conversation, going back to that emotional intelligence questionnaire around the healthy, really stuck with me, this sense of the healthy byproduct or the healthy frame of anger, that anger emotion is boundary setting. And that's a theme that's stuck with me. Is this boundary setting? And I think it's really healthy because I had not set those boundaries for myself previously, and the impact of that is just emotional overload. And so I'm trying more and more, I'm practicing more and more. It's not like a light switch. You have to learn these behaviors, and they have to get sort of enculturated over time. You have to sort of form new mental reflexes or new sort of mental muscle memory. So like instead of having to say consciously, I have to interrupt this self-criticism spin cycle and replace it with one where I have boundaries, it'll be nice one day to just go to that state instinctively rather than having to think about it and pull myself out of it, right? So I think I'll get there eventually, but I think it's going to be a process.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to know that those tools are available to me. It's comforting to know that I can go to that space and it's okay. And it's not like I'm letting anybody down. It's healthy. It's appropriate. I have to prioritize. I have to set boundaries or else I'm not going to be any good to anybody.
Yeah. That's just wonderful, Matt. What a huge, I just feel relief for you.
I don't know. I think I'm in a much better state mentally than I was when we talked last week. Because I'm starting to make some of these realizations, both both from the coaching and the therapy, and B, you know, in sharing some of this information with my therapist, and because he was fascinated over the whole EQ chart, and that was a neat conversation that I had with him. But, you know, I'm being honest about some of my symptoms and how this work stress and this self-criticism cycle really feeds this anxiety, and being honest about the severity of some of my symptoms. You know, he's changed up some of my meds, and so that's been, you know, the combination of, like, okay, I'm finding some medication that sort of works for me, and I'm sort of figuring out some of the root causes that drive some of these feelings in the first place. I think attacking it in both ends, you know, it's just great because, number one, it enables me to feel better physically and mentally, right? But the other thing that my doctor told me, which stuck with me, is I've been carrying around all this, like, emotional baggage, per se, and for so many years, and, like, it's heavy, it weighs you down, and if I'm able to sort of discard that emotional baggage and that anxiety and that sense of perfectionism and all this other stuff, well, that opens me up to pursue a lot more in life and, you know, give back to others and pursue big life goals. And, you know, so it's not just about fixing the tactical day-to-day, like, what's my emotional state to tomorrow or today and how much anxiety am I feeling this evening. You know, yes, it is that, but it's more than that in the sense that if I can put some of this stuff away, or at least reduce it significantly, it just opens me up to pursue those things that give me energy, like disruption and like big picture strategy and, you know, game-changing kinds of things. And that's what I want to be my legacy. So it's all sort of connected in that sense.
Yeah. Well, that's some great thinking. And you've laid everything out here. Just wondering, where do you want to dive deeper into for our session today here? From here on?
Well, you know, I don't know. I think there's a lot of potential spots we could talk a little bit more about. I mean, there's two things that come to mind immediately that I still feel like are maybe loose ends. The first loose end is, like, as you say, logically I can lay all this out. I see how it all ticks and ties. You know, I could draw a flow chart on it and, you know, produce it for you. But you know, the remaining challenge for me and why I call it a loose end is because I think it will be a work in progress, is just allowing myself the space to connect to my feelings and emotions, right? So logically, I get it. I get all this stuff. I get how it connects. I see how the dominoes could fall if I figure this stuff out. But I do think one of the hidden, or not hidden, but like one of the first dominoes that need the trip in order to set off that sequence of positive events is, you know, I've got to continue to connect emotionally and allow myself the space to connect emotionally and even do that. And I think most importantly, doing that in a work setting. And so, you know, I think I need to find ways that I can productively display emotion and connect with emotion in a professional business setting. Because right now, I feel like I have to put up this very solid, non-transparent exterior of leadership or whatever you want to call it. And I don't want to. That's exhausting. I just don't want to do it anymore. It doesn't give me anything. Like, I just want to be more of a human. Right?
Yeah.
So I think that's one of my big kind of next steps or takeaways of figuring out maybe some opportunities in the right settings to overtly sort of demonstrate that, you know, I'm connecting on a human, emotional, interpersonal level on some things that previously I might have completely avoided or shied away from because, you know, it's just it would have been uncomfortable for me to engage in that emotional side in a business setting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we can work with that. But what's the second one you said? Loose end.
Well, the other one is maybe more of an aspirational or positive goal setting, I suppose. I guess as I would frame it as, you know, I sort of have recognized that, I guess, how should I say this? I've recognized that I have a lot to contribute, or a lot of things that I want to get done in the bigger picture. And we laid out several sessions ago, let me flip back to it. I laid out this like life purpose and these bold sort of pursuits or positive disruptions. And I think a lot of these things are longer term, but I'm sort of hungry to take some steps in that direction while I'm working on myself, yes, and working on my emotions and being in touch with my emotions. I think that's one path that I need to continue to go down. But in parallel, I think there's a parallel path, which is while I'm working on myself and my internal sort of emotional connection and emotional state, I also want to set myself in this direction of, you know, achieving some of these big pursuits, positive disruptions, and taking some tangible, concrete steps towards some of those pursuits.
Okay. So interesting enough, the image that came to mind when you shared the first one and the second one to me was your vision of you as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if there is a thread through there, or whether there is a thread between these two, or
I think so. I think what I'm finding, and like I said, I've only been in this job now for what, a couple months, really 3 months, but I think what I'm realizing is that now that I'm at sort of this officer executive level, I think my leadership is less and less about project management and holding people accountable and hitting milestones. It's, you know, that is stuff that came very naturally to me in lower levels. You know, I've always been an effective executor, and have my part of my brand has always been, you know, hey, he gets things done. But I think what I'm finding more and more is that at this level, my leadership style is much more aspirational. It's, you know, giving people space to think, to innovate, encouraging an environment in which challenging status quo and challenging ideas is acceptable and encouraged. I think it's setting an example of the fact that not only is it okay to be a human at work, but humans are naturally creative, and that's how we're going to solve the problems of the future. So it's okay to be a human, and it's okay to think big. And you know, I think this promotion of thinking big is something that I want to instill in everybody that's around me, because I can't do it by myself. But if I can encourage a culture in which other people exceed what they even believed are their own capabilities or own limits because they're in an environment that encourages creativity and that encourages big thinking, maybe even sometimes at the expense of some things won't get done tactically, and that's okay. Like, that's the leadership style that I want to take forward. Carly, did I lose you?
No, sorry. I had myself on mute.
Oh.
You wouldn't hear me cough there.
Oh, okay.
So I'm wondering, you've done a lot of good thinking again about this. What do you envision would be a good outcome that you would like us to work with for the rest of this session?
Well, it might be good to stay on that topic of leadership style, and it sounds like, you know, maybe we've kind of got these dual tracks that are somewhat complementary. It might be useful for me because I'm always craving action items for better or worse. That's my strength and my weakness all tied into one. Is, you know, what are some tangible things that I can go do in service of that, you know, vision of my leadership brand.
Okay.
I think that would be useful.
Okay, so you've got these dual tracks. Yeah, I mean, how would you like, you know, how would you start exploring these dual tracks?
Forgive me, I'm just taking a few notes.
Sure.
So there's this human emotional track, and then there's this, what did we call it, sort of aspirational, motivational track. So on this human raw sort of emotional track, I mean, certainly I could share some more of myself and my personal life and with more people around me. I mean, the simplest thing I could do there is just, as opposed to engaging, and when I see people in the hall, you know, as opposed to engaging in, hey, what's new? What are you working on? How can I help? Which is sort of my common thing that I do. It may be as simple as saying, hey, here's what I did this weekend. What are you up to? Because I'm not sure people really, I mean, clearly there's some people, you know, there's a lot of people that know me personally in my sort of circle of friends and colleagues, but there's a lot, this is a huge organization, and I interact with a lot of people, and there's probably a few amount of people, particularly my peers, which are not in my age group, that don't really maybe have as much information about me personally and what I do outside of work and what motivates me and what I'm interested in and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So if I was going to pick maybe a segment of the organization to really develop this, I think it would be with my peers, like my officer sort of peers that just are not in my social circles because our age groups are so different.
Yeah. Well, I think that's great. It brings me a question around how much do you know about the human element of the people that you most work with?
It varies. I mean, I'm fortunate enough to have, as part of my professional network, a lot of people that I interact with on a personal basis as well. So with you know, the people that are in my sort of personal circle, social circle, I'm pretty well connected in terms of the human level. But you know, obviously I have a lot of folks that I work with on a more peripheral level that quite frankly, I don't know a whole lot of personal things about. You know, I mean, you pick up some things here and there, but it hasn't been as much of a priority for me to ask those kinds of questions,
mm-hmm.
for better or worse.
Yeah, no, I understand. So if you were to engage these two tracks, the human emotional and the aspirational motivational, to bring those two together somehow, what do you envision happening?
I was going to combine them, you mean?
Yeah, I'm just wondering. I'm just wondering whether there's a combination or whether they are, in fact, two completely different tracks.
Another good question. Well, clearly they're not totally separate because, I mean, the whole aspect of being aspirational and thinking big is, you know, a technique and how leaders, you know, the really impactful leaders do that is they appeal to some innate sense or emotion, some very strong emotion in people, right? So that on a negative side, you know, there's leaders I'm sure that we could name, some of which have been on the TV recently, that appeal to fear as an emotion to motivate and to inspire people. And then there are leaders that appeal to sort of a sense of wonder or love or justice as a way to mobilize. And so in that sense, connecting with people's really, you know, fundamental emotions and actually reflecting their emotions, you know, some of the best politicians will sort of channel people's emotions and sort of mirror them back almost in a speech or whatever. And those are the people that connect the most, I think, and are most aspirational, right?
Mm.
So
that leads me, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I'm wondering who you admire as a leader. Really admire.
Yeah.
Why.
Yeah. Well, you know, the folks that I really admire, I'll name two different names for different reasons. One is Elon Musk. I mean, here's a guy that just, when you think about think big, I mean, look at what this guy does. I mean, he's sending rockets into space and landing them down, you know, and landing them successfully back down on, like, that's insane, right? He's got a car company that, you know, completely open sourced his designs. I mean, this is revolutionary stuff. I mean, that's, to me, when I think thinking big, thinking aspirational, changing the world, that to me is amazing. And you know, the other name that you know, I think the guy takes a beating from a lot of different corners, but I think Obama's style really appeals to me in the sense that, I mean, you look back at what he's accomplished. I mean, and he's done a lot in his presidency, and you know, people knock him as professorial, and he doesn't really show a whole lot of emotion. So maybe he's a bad example in that sense. But when he was campaigning, he certainly brought the visionary, brought the aspiration, brought the emotional stuff. I mean, he hasn't done it as much as president because I think he understands how sober his job is and how serious it is. But when he's in campaign mode, I mean, his emotions are, he wears them on his sleeve, right?
So, I mean, those are some examples of models that I have responded to.
Yeah. It's interesting. Did you see the Jerry Seinfeld Obama thing, drive thing?
Yeah. Yeah, where they got coffee and cars and they Yeah.
I mean, to me, that things like that brought out more of the human element. I mean, you know, really more of the human element. And Michelle Obama is one of the most real people.
She's great.
Unbelievably real, authentic people.
Well, that's Hillary's problem. I mean,
yeah.
She can't connect emotionally, right? I mean, she's such a policy wonk. I mean, she's so smart and knows so much about so many things and is clearly eminently qualified in so many ways, but she doesn't seem human to people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think that's why, whether you call them dual tracks or complementary tracks, like, yes, you have to be aspirational, but you also have to connect on a human level because people don't respond to people they don't trust or don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they've got a great vision.
Yeah. So, interesting. You mentioned that you want to be a person that doesn't have to, I don't know your exact word, but you don't want to put on this facade. You want to be this real human being, and you want to be this aspirational leader. So what would you need to shift in your mindset for that to occur?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question. Well, the thing that comes to mind is throughout my entire career, you talk about this facade or whatever. I can't remember the exact word I used, but you know, it was one of the need to wear a cloak of like just completely unquestioned excellence, like success in all aspects, the go-to guy, the standout, the one that gets called in to solve the hard problems. And that's worked, obviously, for me professionally in climbing the ladder, but it also is not, it doesn't feel authentic in the sense that I think it felt authentic then because it was a means of self-validation. But now that I've achieved a significant success in my career, it's like, okay, I don't need this continuous self-validation anymore. I mean, it served me well for the time that it did, but it's almost like, okay, I have the luxury of not needing constant self-validation anymore. And so dropping that need to be successful, quote unquote, successful in all things, all the time, and to not, frankly, not be as tied into all the daily issues that people come to me with that really are just below the radar, below the line. In my old method of thinking, all of those laundry list of items would be put in a queue, and I have to check them all off before I could sleep at night, not literally, but figuratively. I think part of what I have to let go of, part of what I have to be able to do is just ignore some things. I mean, literally, just ignore some things that just aren't important, and maybe even being willing to tell people, hey, this is not, I mean, tactfully, obviously, but tell people this isn't something that I can engage in. Just saying, no, I can't, this isn't something we're going to do. Because you know, we're focused on the big things, right?
Mm-hmm. Good. And it brings me to ask you, how would you redefine excellence then as Matt, this new Matt?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's... I think it's a couple things. I think, one, it's less about me and it's more about the collective wake of people and promotions and success and achievement that I leave behind me, right? So it's about the people in my organization and around me that I can get the leverage them collectively to achieve big things, right? So it's less about my success than it is about what I can achieve through collective groups of people. And I think it's about, as opposed to just being successful on a day-to-day basis with whatever task gets thrown at me, which almost defining success is like, okay, covering the entire chessboard, right? Like I have the entire chessboard covered. It's instead of that, it's picking the strategic pieces on the chessboard that are going to win the game in three moves and putting nearly all my efforts there, right? So because it represents something new and innovative and something that people haven't thought of before, right? That's what I want. Like, achieving the stuff that's on my plate, or on just in general on your plate, that's like, okay, here are the 5 or 10 things you got. Like, that was good enough for me previously. It's not good enough anymore. It's not, not good enough is the wrong phrase, but it's not what's going to be fulfilling for me. What's going to be fulfilling for me is, instead of solving 10 medium-sized problems a quarter, it's going to be, what's the one or two or three big things in the next year or two that I can champion through this organization, harnessing collective resources to move the dial?
And how would you get self-validation from here on as well?
Well, I think it might be through seeing those around me building their own capabilities and achieving things. You know, like, so some of the leaders that I'm grooming and developing, like, seeing them come into their own and seeing them get successes, I think, is validating for me. So it's not going to be about as much about me necessarily. It's going to be about them and what they're achieving and unlocking their sort of potential. I think that's one way I can get self-validation on a more frequent basis. And I think just being, I almost want to say, self-validation should, I'm not even sure if it's a reasonable or laudable thing to try to replace it. Like, it may be better to just be, to just live, to just enjoy the conversations. Like, okay, I'm at a point in my career right now where I'm getting more freedom to engage in the things that really motivate me the most. Great. And just enjoy it, right? I mean, enjoy that. Enjoy the fun, the time I have outside of work, you know, just enjoy it. I mean, I almost wonder if just drop the whole need for self-validation and, you know, maybe easier said than done, but that's sort of what pops into my mind initially.
So let me check, how is this helping you to tie up the loose ends around these two tracks?
Yeah, well, I guess to your point, it's probably not two tracks. It's probably complementary, a complementary leadership sort of framework And I think I'm on the direction, you know, I'm headed down this path. It's not like I need to pull a U-turn, right? To get, like, I'm headed down this track. So like, in some sense, it's just, it's validating to just have this framework, this more formalized framework to think about the track that I'm headed down. And I think it may just simply mean doing more of it, right? So allowing myself, being intentional about it, in other words, right? So I've sort of maybe peripherally sort of felt that these are the things that that I want to pursue, and I almost, there's like a kind of a sense of, oh, you know, geez, I'm kind of getting away with it. Like I'm getting away with being able to engage on these higher level things in my job. You know, it's, but I think it's reframing that and saying, no, that's my job. Like, it's not, I'm not getting away with doing something extra or on the side. Like, this is why I'm here. And maybe being a little bit more open with people about how I see myself and how I see my role. And being more transparent about that and just saying, yes, that this is how I see my role. This is how I see myself. And sort of opening up on two fronts, opening up on, yes, this is what I'm, this is my role, and this is what I'm tasking myself with, and people that work, will come work with me, this is what we're going to do. And opening myself up on the front of, you know, just being more willing to connect and take some time to connect on a more human level, pretty much in all aspects of my life. I think this, that's goes beyond just the professional realm. I mean, yes, it is in the professional, but it's also maybe being a little bit more, taking some more time and putting a little bit more priority on some of my friendships and things like that outside of work. I think that would serve me well in lots of different capacities.
Mm-hmm.
So this theme, I think, that ties them to, ties these two things together is openness and transparency.
Hmm. Nice.
Which conflicts, or, you know, is in opposition to this sense of needing to be guarded.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of where the root of all my anxiety is, right? Is I have to be guarded, I have to be perfect, I have to protect myself, I always have to be Johnny on the spot. If there's any issues that pop up, I can't fail. Nothing can slip. You know, I need to cover all my bases. Like that's that whole guarded, defensive mentality is where my anxiety springs from. And so the opposite of that is, I am who I am. Openness, transparency. Here's what I'm good at. Here's what I might not have time to engage on. And here's where I might not be able to help people, but you know, this is where I see myself, and I'm focused here. And if you like it, great, come on board. If you don't like it, too bad. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. That's great. When did you get this distinction, openness and transparency versus guarded?
Just now.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Cool. Well done.
Yeah, just now. But it makes sense. I mean, it ties together a lot of the themes that we've discussed. And I think it's probably going to be the topic for my therapy appointment this afternoon as I'm thinking through it.
Right. So let me check, because, you know, we're almost at our time. Would it be useful to, do you want a checklist of some things to do, or do you feel like you just want to leave it with this question of, or this realization of what you, where your leadership and you as a human being is?
Yeah, I don't necessarily, let me reverse my opinion from previously. I don't know that I necessarily need a checklist walking out of this discussion. I think it's enough to be able to connect with these themes and sort of realize that these are worthwhile pursuits and worthwhile themes, and that I do have the permission to engage in these things. And I want to explore this a little bit further with my therapist as well, because I think it's touching on some things that may help me explore some of those anxiety issues. So I think that's going to be my meet. I think if I had to say what my next steps out of this would be, it's A, I'm going to kind of pursue this in the therapy realm, and B, in the professional setting, like I'm just going to continue to look for opportunities to embrace these leadership traits as they come up, and to not think of it as a indulgence or something that I'm getting away with, but to truly embrace it and say, this is who I am. And I think giving myself the permission to do that, I think will yield some fruits, probably more so than just having a couple of checklist items.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that struck me is something you said really early in this call around laughter is a healing thing. Yeah, I don't know. Is there anything specifically that resonates with you around that statement to continue to work with or not?
Yeah, I mean, well, it goes back to this whole sense of being guarded. I mean, if you're guarded and you're constantly on defense because of perfectionism, I mean, there's no room for laughter in that space. But in an open, transparent state of mind in which you are who you are, you're an imperfect human, and you're okay with it, and you're going to do the best you can on the areas that you think are important, and you're going to fail on some other things, like, there's almost a sense of sort of irony in that, it's a lot more carefree of an attitude, right? And so there's a lot more opportunity for laughter at oneself, laughter at your failures, laughter even in success and enjoyment with other people. I mean, so, I don't know. I mean, I guess in some sense, like sort of through realizing one's own limitations and imperfections, it's almost liberating in the sense that, you know, laughter and humor and just sort of the absurdity of our human condition is freeing. In some sense.
Yeah.
I don't mean to get all philosophical on you.
Yeah, no, I like it. So, are you ready for us to start finishing up here, or anything
else? Yeah, I think so. I think this was a great, as usual, it's a great conversation.
Well, this is our last one. So is there anything you want to say about, you know, where you started 5 sessions ago, and plus our EQ profile debrief and where you are now?
Yeah, well, you know, I think when I first started, I didn't know where this was going to go. You know, I sort of had some thoughts about, oh, geez, I'm in the middle of this job transition. You know, I've got these anxiety issues that I hadn't really explored much at that point. And so looking back at that, I had only very faint glimpses of maybe what these conversations would achieve and where they would go. I'm really happy that we didn't drill down into the specifics of my job transition itself. We talked more about big picture, who do I want to be and who do I want to show up as a person, as a leader. You know, I took away, I guess, a lot more self-insight as to who do I want to be and what do I want to achieve and how that ties into some of the deep-rooted sort of anxiety issues that I have. And so I guess what I took away from this is twofold. One is I got a lot better insight into myself and some of maybe the internal conflict that has manifested in the last couple of years in terms of my anxiety and has given me a lot of fodder to talk about with my therapist. So it's been complimentary in that sense. The second thing is, like I said, this aspirational piece. You know, I have a much better vision of what I want to achieve and accomplish over the medium and long term and who I want to show up as, which, you know, is a gift. That's not something that I had the luxury of
or the time or the space or the intention of thinking about up to this point in my career. And I think it's just a really opportune time to have this self-realization and build out this picture of my self-aspirations. It's just a great time in my career since I'm at this inflection point as a new executive. And for me to have that vision as a new executive and know where I want to go and know who I want to be, I think is going to give me a leg up on a lot of people that maybe would be just transitioning into an executive role and just sort of finding their way through it, like navigating through a dark hallway without a flashlight. Like, I feel like I have the lights are on and I know where I want to go.
Yeah, that's great. Your visual is always excellent.
Yes.
Well, it's been absolutely a pleasure to coach you these sessions and to get to know you a little. And I've just seen the progression around, especially around some of the emotional stuff and how you've really embraced some shifts there. And I think the company is very happy. No, the company is very lucky to have you.
Well, thanks for saying so, Carly. I appreciate that. I appreciate all your insights. It's truly been valuable for me. This was a great, great experience.
Thanks, Matt. Well, good luck. Go out there and conquer.
All right.
In an aspirational, emotionally connected way.
Thanks, Carly. Well, hopefully our paths will cross again.
I would love that.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye.